Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
What is this movie?
Tombstone.
What is this movie?
Don't even know it.
It pairs wonderfully with a Cobb salad, if you're interested.
Jeremy White.
The lengths that you're taking it to, I don't think most people have a food
thing
like this.
Which of us is taking it to lengths?
You're saying
throwing
no.
Master's tickets on a table in front of me, and I'm just saying, I hate that and find it revolting. There's no lengths.
I'm not for sale, baby.
And Joe DiBiase.
I did have the wonder in my mind, did I have more fun with the Bills during the drought? It's fun thinking about some of those games. It's like, look at us back then. We made it through all that.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Thursday. What's up, everybody? Happy Thursday.
And round one of a major.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
I pick Bryson.
Yeah?
I'm on Bryson to win it. Bryson.
Going for the big hitter.
Yeah. Great player, big hitter, good short game.
Mm-hmm.
And because mentally, he's not going to get beaten down by the course where some guys will.
You say that. He might be carrying himself that way going in, but isn't he the type of guy where, you know, you're crossing your fingers that he mentally isn't going to get, you know, start yelling at the rough in the middle of the third round or,
true,
you know, Sunday starts and he's getting into it with a rules official about something.
And if the Masters went differently and he and Rory had switched spots, people would say that he melted down.
Oh, yeah.
And he kind of melted down Sunday at Augusta. He did not play well.
He had, what was his lead? Rory doubles number one. What is his lead? Is it two shots?
I thought it was one. But either way, like, he had so many opportunities to kind of do more than he did, and he fell all the way out of contention, and it's Justin Rose that goes to the playoff.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, there's that. The best video I've seen from Oakmont, did I send it to you? It wouldn't even matter if I sent it because it was mostly just video and not audio.
Okay.
You know, you've got all these guys picking what an 18 handicapper would shoot.
Yeah.
Then there's a video of Mickelson, Rahm, and someone else. I forget who it is. Doesn't matter.
Probably another live guy.
They're all standing within 3 yards of a green with the ball in the rough, trying to get the ball out of the rough onto the green. Like, short, little, delicate shots out of the real thick stuff, and they're having a tough time. Mickelson twice hit the ball 2 inches.
Wow.
Twice. Didn't move. Like, oh, all right. Looking like a shank. Like a, never mind an 18 handicapper. Looking like you're playing with somebody. You got paired with a random. And they're going to chip and it goes 2 feet to the right.
Yeah.
And doesn't move out of the rough. And, boy, we're just in for a show. I think we're really in for a show.
Some Duff chips probably are going to happen. Yeah,
we'll talk about it with Brian Koziel coming up at 6:30 this morning. So Brian Koziel of Tee to Green, he'll be on the way at 6:30. Sal at 7:30, recapping another day of Bills mandatory minicamp. An Oilers guest at 9 o'clock ahead of tonight's game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final. And we'll see if Edmonton can bounce back in any sort of way. But yeah, the event today, let's go. We got golf at 6:45, right?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Early on. And you get some heavy hitters, I think, like in the 8 o'clock hour somewhere, right? Like the... I'll pull the groups up again, but there's a big group. You'll get some people you've heard of by the time, you know, 9 o'clock hits.
Yep.
That are already out there.
Matt Vogt, the 6'6" dentist, is the first guy off.
He was not who I was thinking of, but yes, he is. He's the first off.
Yep. Rory, Rose, and Lowry at 7:40.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Yep. Yeah. Oberg, Adam Scott, and Matsuyama at 7:18.
Okay.
Schauffele and DeChambeau at 7:30. Spieth. These are just for today. Spieth's the afternoon. He does the morning tomorrow.
Okay.
Scheffler, Morikawa, Hovland, 125.
Okay. All right. That's a good afternoon one.
Some of your bigger ones, yeah.
Oberg. Eventually it's going to happen.
He won his event. He won the Genesis. He won the Genesis. It's a matter of time before he wins a major, but yes.
Right. The matter of time for the majors is what I'm thinking of. Yeah. He's been in contention. He's going to win one.
You'd think so. So anyway, we're here. Happy Thursday. Join us. Hang out. We'll be here for, you know, 4 hours. I have something to start with that's kind of funny.
Okay.
I had a listener write to me and say that it was from a guy named Matt who wanted us to dedicate an entire hour to what amounts to be a little bit of a silly topic. But, I mean, you know, sometimes we only do that later in the show, and I regret that. You know, we'll get a little looser in the 9 o'clock hour.
Uh-huh.
And why not start here in the 6 o'clock hour? It's a Thursday and it's June, and, you know, we could talk about Keon Coleman, or we could talk about the guys that went to Baltimore and The guys that went to Baltimore to a Orioles game and brought in bags and bags of crab legs.
Okay.
Because it's one of these policies where you can bring food in a Ziploc bag,
yeah,
and they got a write-up in the paper, they got a write-up online, wherever, BaltimoreBanner.com.
Yeah.
They got a write-up for just the, yeah, we saw guys bringing in spaghetti and meatballs in a bag, and we brought crab legs.
Okay, in like giant, huge, plastic, like Ziploc bags?
Yes. They were on the roof deck in center field, out there with their little eating crabs.
Were they and they were allowed to bring in the little hammers or whatever?
I guess so.
Okay.
Yep. They've done it for 3 years, the first time they've really gotten attention for it.
Uh-huh.
So the guy says, I said, we can bring our own food. The first year, obviously, crabs are pricey. Kelly and I didn't want to get it turned down. We brought three each. And they said, oh, no problem. So now every year they bring a monster, basically a buffet of their own for crabs. To just bring them to a baseball game.
They referenced the spaghetti and meatballs thing. We saw that this year, didn't we?
Where did we see that?
And somewhere in the NBA.
Okay.
There was a guy, like, not center court, but maybe
Madison,
like in the
Square Garden or LA. Maybe. LA. I think it's LA guys eating spaghetti and meatballs.
That's right. It was in LA. Like the third row, there's a guy with it was a plate though of spaghetti and meatballs. Yeah.
My first thought on all this, which, you know, maybe we'll have a couple of silly thoughts. I think a perfect fantasy football last place punishment is you have to go to a Bills game and bring spaghetti and meatballs in a bag.
Okay.
That's a punishment?
Yeah.
That was my natural follow-up question.
That's enjoyable. I would do that. I would do that on week one.
Okay. You're doing it week one then.
Well, I'd have to go to the game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't just have access to go to the game.
Okay. I'll give you a ticket.
Yeah. We'll get you.
You're going to do it right away. Week one. Spaghetti and meatballs in a bag.
All right. I'll do it.
All right, look at that. Commitment.
You got a snack, a dinner, and a show.
The thing that's tough about that versus what... Well, I guess there are problems with what these guys are doing with crab legs, too, because if they're, you know, they're not pre-hitting... They're bringing the full crabs, right?
Yeah. I mean, the picture of the guy is holding up a crab in center field.
Okay, so they're not doing that beforehand and then putting the meat in a bag and then bringing it. They're doing it all there. So that's a process, too. The spaghetti and meatballs, though, is like I am going to have an impossible time not getting it all over the front of myself. How are you going to eat spaghetti and meatballs at a Bills game without having it everywhere? You know? Like, are you going to eat it straight out of the bag?
Right.
It's tough. With a fork?
It's tough. Any food where people standing up could spill it because there's a big play.
And in Bills games, depending on where you sit or, you know, stand. You stand the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
So standing up and eating spaghetti and meatballs does not sound enjoyable at all. I think that would be a good last place punishment. More of a punishment than it would be to bring crab legs, I think.
Well,
you got to have a table, though, for that.
You would think.
Like
it's not an easy meal.
What are you going to do? You're going to put it on the bleachers and then like turn around and like whack it?
Right. These guys in this picture in Baltimore have a table in front of them. It almost looks like the party deck at the Bisons game where
okay.
you have a built-in
I see it now, yeah.
shelf to kind of use.
Yeah.
Which would be very important if you're going to try and, you know.
Yeah, break. Because where these guys are sitting, I mean, you could do anything. You can do anything you want, right? Bring whatever you made for dinner the night before. You could bring it because you've got your own little table there.
Yep.
And if you are, you know, that monster in the third row in Los Angeles who's just sitting on a folding chair behind the Lakers bench with a plate of spaghetti and meatballs, and you got a plate, you know, that's a lot more difficult. These guys do whatever they want with what they've what they have. Look at the guys to the left. The guys on the left in the little corner. They look like they got some food over there.
Yeah, they do. Anybody ever brought anything like this into a game?
I've never even thought to.
Food to a game?
I don't know that I would have known it was allowed.
Because you can bring sandwiches. A lot of times you can bring, I feel like you can bring more than you realize you can.
What are the limits of it, though?
Well, the Bills policy, if I have this exactly right, you can bring anything that fits inside that clear bag, including a bag that's not allowed to be brought in. If you are, I think women that would carry a purse maybe would have learned this, you can't bring your purse in. You can put your purse in the clear bag, and then it can come in.
No way.
Yes. Yes. There are bags that you,
that
can't
possibly
you can't have
be
a
true.
Your bags have to be approved. And the clear bags, they always have, if it can fit in the clear bag, it can come in with you. There's a couple different little...
Even if it's a bag that wouldn't be allowed in otherwise?
Yes.
Come on.
They want the clear bags.
Why do we? It's just a policy, right? Like they gotta follow through with the policy.
Right, a universal clear bag kind of policy.
If I walk up to the gate and I don't have the clear bag, and they're going, "Oh, that's not allowed in," and then I go, "Wait a minute," and I pull out the clear bag from behind me, and then I put the bag that's not allowed in there. And they're like, "You're good." And then I walk through the gates, and I immediately take out the bag that's not allowed. I throw out the clear bag. I'm good.
Well, now once you're in there, if you get found with that, you're gonna need that class.
They're gonna toss me once I'm in.
Bags that are clear plastic and do not exceed this size, you know, clear backpacks, clear fanny packs, cinch bags.
Okay,
in the dimensions. It's 1 gallon clear plastic freezer bag. So you could bring a plastic freezer bag of. All right, fine. Let's find a real fantasy football punishment. You don't want to do spaghetti and meatballs?
And you're saying, like, I can't bring in, like, a full pepperoni pizza.
If you can fit it in a 1 gallon plastic bag, I think you can.
Okay. Oh, but I'm saying. It's got to fit in that.
Bring it in slices, then, and yes, you could probably get it.
The flight I was on down to Florida, a lady brought a whole pizza in a plastic bag and just, like, passed that out to people on the flight.
That's what I
passed it out?
Yeah. I got 2 free pieces of pizza.
She just said, who wants pizza?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It was great.
A random person walks on a flight.
You want this piece of pizza for the whole flight.
Oh, and you wouldn't take that piece of pizza?
I would not take stranger pizza on a flight.
I think I would take stranger
pizza. Her friends were all like, "Yeah, we made it. It's homemade. It's all." And I was like, "All right, I'll try it."
Great. They got through TSA. You know what are we worried about?
I don't know, man. That seems sketchy.
You are right. Like as safe as you could be in an environment like that is after going through all of airport security.
That's fair. I guess, yeah.
But you know, you're right. Like my instinct was, I'm good. Thank you.
Like, yeah, I think I would be like, I'll kindly pass on the stranger.
I don't know how good this person is at making pizza. Maybe it's the first time they did it and they screwed something up with the dough. It's gonna make me sick. I don't know.
Right.
If that's even possible.
I used to have some battles with a security guard when I was in juniors trying to get food into arenas when I was scratched. So I was in Des Moines, Iowa. Uh-huh. Playing in the USHL, and I would order food, and I was too young to be playing in that league yet. I would order food to the arena, and I would go out and get it, and I would try and bring it back in, and the like rink security guy would try and fight me like every time. And I would have to go get an assistant coach or somebody to be like, he's a player. You got to let him in. Like,
yeah.
It took like six attempts to get through this guy with like a bag of Chipotle. And it was, I would get in screaming matches with this security guard.
Like, I was just here.
It was hilarious. It was back-to-back days my first weekend. I was like, dude, we did this yesterday. Let me in the building. What are you doing?
Of all the places you're trying to sneak food into, these games, again, it's allowed. So if it's in a plastic bag, you can bring trail mix. You can bring, what I was about to get to was, all right, you don't think the spaghetti and meatballs is a good enough last place punishment. How about this? Last place punishment. You have to bring a bag of soup.
That's.
Could you
can
bring
I use a straw?
That's,
yeah, it's
sure.
Oh,
then, it's not as bad.
Would you have a spoon? A bag of hot soup.
Something
in that plastic bag. Would that be allowed in? Food in a plastic bag.
Yeah.
Bag of soup.
Week 12, it wouldn't be that bad.
Is it gonna?
You know what?
How long?
We might have $1 million idea here.
Is that gonna last? Is it gonna like melt the plastic if it's hot soup?
Not if it's, you know. Make it not too hot.
Like warm soup.
Got like six bags of soup, like a vest on.
I love it.
Warm. It's a good idea.
This might be a good idea.
No, it's not a good idea, which means it's a great last place punishment idea.
Even,
I think.
Vest, but like a camelback.
Yeah,
like
camelback of soup.
But it's a vest of soup. How about that? There you go. Somebody do it.
If someone has, like, is there such thing as like a clear pizza box? Probably not, right? Because that would be, wouldn't that be a good last place? Like bringing a full pizza? You bring the whole, it's not a cardboard box, though, because you'd have to be clear, but you find some sort of clear box that you put the pizza in, and then you go to your seat, or you have to buy, like, a random seat, and then you obviously make everyone around you furious, because look at this guy showing up with a whole pizza. He's going to take up three seats.
There aren't
like the 2-foot nachos at the
two-foot
Sabre
nachos
game.
Are big. There aren't too many places you really have to sneak food into anymore. The movies, if you really wanted to, you could try, because they sell food there. But, you know, back in the day, back in, I don't know, high school or a little after that, you'd sneak in. We'd try to get, like, full value meal in a jacket into the movie theater. Try that sometimes.
Okay. Movie theaters have never stopped anybody for any food item whatsoever, right?
It seems like it's not exact. Right, it's loose.
The hiding of the movie theater, you know, the item, the food or candy into the movie theater, it's not really a high risk proposition. I feel like they're not really they know you're they all know.
Right.
They all know, yeah, this guy's bringing something in. What am I going to do?
The chat says liquids.
Pat down check.
Liquids might be different, like bringing soup into a football game. It has to be chunkier than that. What if it's chunky soup? Like, sorry, that's liquid.
Wait, you mean like it wouldn't
chili.
Be allowed?
Chili.
It wouldn't
a
be
bag
allowed
of chili.
If it's liquid?
Yeah, liquids might be different than just like something in a bag.
And a soup would qualify as a liquid even though it's not all liquid?
It depends on the liquid.
Okay. Yeah,
it depends on the soup.
Okay, so an Italian wedding would be different from like a chowder? Because the broth is like really thin, and the other is like.
It's a great question. We're gonna have to get in touch with Andy Major from the Bills to find out which soups might be allowed in a bag.
Line of demarcation?
That's right.
For
right.
Soup
tomato soup, minestrone. What am I more likely to get them with?
They have a document from the NFL. Like the following soups are classified. Let's bring in Gene Steratore here.
Clam chowder's banned in Buffalo.
Uh huh.
So anyway, these guys snuck in. Not again. Didn't sneak in. They do it every year. They brought a crab feast to a Orioles game.
Yeah,
got a write up in the paper in the Baltimore Banner. And my guess is now everyone in Baltimore will start doing this.
Yeah,
and you'll just have everybody eating crab legs at Orioles games.
Well, I'm thinking about this just in, like if you don't like arena food or stadium food, like if I've got like a leftover half a sub at home. I would have never in a million years before thought I could bring that to the game. It would be, if I have to eat at the game, it's I got to pick something in the arena.
Put it in a bag.
Now
you're good to go.
Now I could just, right, grab a bag, put the half a sub in, and I'm good to go?
Yep.
Interesting.
Life hack.
I might do this a few times this year.
803-0550 is our phone number, 1-888-550-2550. Last year of the stadium. Let's eat everything we can in there. Soup, spaghetti.
Do you think wings would not be allowed because of the bones? Would they trust people with that?
Let me see here.
That might be a good question, too. I don't know.
Well, there's like crab shells.
True. Right.
But it might be different because it's baseball.
I don't know.
Yeah.
The arena, if the arena matters, too.
Yeah.
I don't see anything. I'm at the NFL's website about the bag policy. I don't see anything about chicken wings, which probably would not surprise you.
Okay.
Yeah, highly visible bags. How many bags can each person bring in? Blankets in cold weather. Toss them over a shoulder or arm and proceed through screening. And we're learning all this stuff. Anyway.
Soup is going to be tough to beat for a last place punishment. What about like a full meatloaf?
Sure. I think
that,
so.
That's probably easy, though.
I think so.
You could just eat that out of the bag.
In all seriousness, it is the last year of the stadium. We're going to talk on Monday with Matt Bove, who's, you know him from It's Always Game Day at Buffalo and, of course, the television. He's coming on Monday. He's doing a series kind of looking back at the stadium and celebrating its final year. The whole last year of the stadium thing does kind of sneak by me until, bang, it pops up in my head like, oh, that's right, this is going to be the last year at the current stadium, and next year will be, like, think about that. This time next year, we'll be celebrating the Bills having won the Super Bowl, of course, but then also planning for, you know, going into this brand new palace.
Mm-hmm.
June of next year, it'll be done in finger quotes. It'll be ready for its first event or so.
I would assume by this time next year, we'll know what the first event will be.
Yes.
The
schedule's out. So we'll at least know what the first Bills game will be.
Right. And by now, you would think if there's going to be something in July, you know, to kick off the new stadium, whether it's a concert or whatever else the event might be, that we, like on June 12th, we would know about it.
Yeah. I wonder, Micah Hyde charity softball game go in that stadium? Could they do that? Where they put up a softball field on first thing that came to mind, where people would want to go and get excited to go and they could pack it in.
So. Would that's a good question, though. Are they going to want something that is like, hey, some people are in here because we're just testing it? Or are they going to want like a big blowout? Like, we want it full. We want this to be a night to remember.
Right.
Like, the first night in the stadium to be a giant party.
Good question.
Because if it's that, then it's a concert, I think. And it's a concert where you think, like, okay, people are going to be up for this.
803-0550. Rich in Lakeview. Hey, Rich, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. Circa maybe 77 to 79, it all kind of muddles together when you get close to 60. But you're talking about things you bring in. I can remember going to see it was a season-ending game against the Denver Broncos, maybe 30,000 people there, and the group of guys next to us had a full hibachi grilling during the game. I'll never forget it, setting up the legs, lighter fluid, and nobody comes down. Nobody. We were sharing hot dogs, the whole whatever else they were cooking up there. There were a few other things, but yeah. Hey, if they could bring back the hibachi for one game, that would be a good memory to show the kids and grandkids.
That's funny, Rich.
Yeah,
thanks. I like, you know, any call that starts with circa, and then, you know, just throwback year.
Yeah,
the hibachi frowned upon in 2025 to bring a full flaming hibachi grill into a stadium.
You wouldn't be able to
get away
with that
in the 70s.
You wouldn't be able to do that. No.
That's funny.
How much heat can those hand warmers produce? Can I get enough of those? No, I'm just kidding. There's nothing you can do.
Maybe hibachi would be a good idea. Will the new stadium have a hibachi? It should. Start the petition now.
I bet there will be, maybe not hibachi. Is there any like sushi or anything of the sort available in the current stadium? No, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe
in places that I don't go.
Okay. I would bet that's going to be something. There are going to be, I would bet there's 50-50 odds that there's hibachi in the new stadium. It wouldn't surprise me if that's available. I haven't seen anything that would, you know, make me think that will be one of the things. But
to the sushi question, I have no idea what they're going to have in the new Highmark. I mean, when we went and took our media tour of the Bills stadium experience, which would have been a while back now, so, you know, how it has changed and been tweaked, I don't know. But they have that one, you walk into a mock-up suite when we were there, and there was sushi on the table, fake sushi on the table in that mock-up suite. So
There is hibachi at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami.
Okay.
And also at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles.
So two NFL stadiums at least have hibachis.
Yes. Yeah, Miami and L.A.
Megan, quickly before the break. Hey, Megan.
Hi, I am a frequent bringer of things into Highmark Stadium. A few years ago, I went down a rabbit hole on the website, and it said anything that is prepared in an unopened container. So then I started to bring in unopened things of cheese and crackers and entire charcuterie board items and bags of chips and popcorn. And then I pushed my luck a little more and was just bringing in like cottage cheese and all these healthier options when I got sick of the stadium food.
All right.
I did ask on my experience about the food, and the gentleman said that with the new stadium, the health department regulations can be built into the facility differently. So it is possible hibachi or kebabs or something like that could come.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
So it's anything that was unopened you could fit in that bag you can do, pretty much?
That's what they said. The first time I saw somebody with a sub, like an entire foot-long sub, I was baffled by it, so that's what led me a little bit down the rabbit hole. And then from then on, it went to family-sized bags of chips and entire containers of dip and 12-ounce bricks of cheese.
A charcuterie.
Yes, it's popular for everyone around you.
Yeah. Listen, thanks, Megan. You show me a charcuterie board, I'm gonna graze on that.
Yes, definitely.
All right, we've established a few of us here would not take stranger pizza. Now put yourself on a flight and a person offers you a little sample of their charcuterie board on the flight. Yeah, is that a yes or a no? Candied nuts.
I think it's a yes.
All right, me too.
I'm also the one that ate the pizza.
Still skeptical. If it's, I don't know. I might.
Listen, here, the thing about a charcuterie board is what percentage of the time would you actually know specifically what it is you're eating?
Ooh, only like 60% of the time.
Oh, I think the number's even lower.
Lower than
like,
that.
I know it's cheese, I know it's meat, I know it's candy, but the idea of, this is, I don't know.
I eat off of charcuterie boards like I'm playing like Russian roulette. Like, I just have no clue.
Just take a guess.
This could not even be cheese.
I mean, usually I'm going to know what the meat is. The cheese is the right point. Like, if it's a white cheese, could be one of like six different types of cheeses at least.
Yeah.
Probably more than that.
No idea.
Bill tweets in, you can bring food wrapped in foil into the stadium. The foil probably has to be in the clear bag.
Do I have to open the foil to show them what it is, or is it anything?
It's a good question. I'll ask. You would probably have to open it up.
Yeah, I feel like you gotta.
Because then you could just bring anything you want in with just wrapped in foil.
Look like,
it's a sandwich.
Right. Look at us learning the rules of the current stadium just in time. This is supposed to shut down and have a brand new one. All right, Brian Koziel on the other side. We're going to chat about Oakmont and the U.S. Open, which gets started in about 15 minutes. So they get rolling at Oakmont, and we're going to watch this course beat these guys up. Some of the pros saying an 18 handicapper would shoot a 150, or they would run out of balls if they had a dozen, which is how many I think a pro golfer gets. So the Oakmont preview as the U.S. Open gets started very shortly. Brian Koziel of Tee to Green joining us here on WGR next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Getting set for the U.S. Open. Coverage begins on television at 7 a.m. on USA?
6:30.
All right, here we go.
Coverage starts. I don't know if they're going to be showing you the dentist.
I want to see the 6'6" amateur player dentist at Oakmont.
Shouldn't he really play into it? Like, shouldn't his polo have, like, little, like, dentures all over it or something?
Houndstooth? Yeah, it's a pattern. Get some houndstooth.
Oh.
Brian Koziel on the Wester Hotline.
Look at Bryson with the shoes, man.
What's wrong with Bryson's shoes?
I don't know.
They're just shoes.
They're dad shoes.
They do look like tennis shoes. Hey, Brian.
He looks like those are golf. If Howard really took up golf, those would be his shoes.
I don't think it's that bad. It's not as bad as, you know, the everything, you know, live team gear. Brian Oakmont's upon us. Here we go. First question is, what's the winning score going to be? You think this will be an over par tournament?
Man, the way the videos and all the practice rounds results that we've been getting from players, I think it's maybe a 50-50 proposition. We may see a plus number come in at the end as the winner. Oakmont's hosted quite a few Opens. In fact, the most of any U.S. Open site. The lowest a score has ever been in relation to par for a winner is -5. The last time it was there, 2016, Dustin Johnson, it was -4. The time before that, Angel Cabrera beat Tiger Woods by 1. He was +5. That was the winning score. So I think there's, you know, not to totally dodge your question, but I think it's a 50-50 chance that it may happen. I mean, players obviously continue to find ways to beat hard tracks, but, man, there's going to be a ton of players way over par, double digits over par, and you're going to see some 7s and some 8s, some scores that we never see on the weekly PGA Tour schedule.
And some of the fun, like, side props and bets or just things to track, what's the highest score we'll see from any one golfer in any one round? It really, Brian, you know, the U.S. Open has had events where the scores are expected to be high and the rough is long and the course is tough. Like, Shinnecock strikes me as one that we always talk about with this. But maybe it's the age of social media. It feels like they are really setting us up for, no. They really took Oakmont to the next level. Oakmont's tough as it is, and what they've done with this course, I don't know if it's every time it's there that we ask what an 18 handicapper would shoot, but, like, that is the topic. And I've seen more videos of guys on the practice greens and guys chunking out of the rough. It feels like we are being kind of prepared ahead of time for just how much, finger quotes here, carnage there will be out there.
Yeah, and the players haven't really complained in terms of saying, like, that it's unfair. I think they're just saying it's super hard. I've heard that question asked quite a bit this week. And, you know, what would that 18 handicapper shoot? And would be seeing a lot of, like, 150 answers or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, the rough, it looks like, unless you are, the ball is somehow luckily sitting up, like, you're going to have to literally have, like, maybe a 50-yard advance or maybe just a total sideways advancement. They've done a couple of renovations features to the course from when the last time it was there. They did a renovation in 2023. One thing is they've added more these, like, I guess ditches is what you'll see. It's going to come into play the most on the ninth hole. The ninth hole and the first hole run parallel to each other. And there's a ton of bunkers on the right-hand side of nine, so players, you know, likely are going to be looking left. And there's a ditch in between those holes, but it's closer to the ninth hole. They are just looking to kind of do what a traditional, maybe kind of old-school course that we've seen in Scotland or in England, where there are these just, like, natural-made drainage area ditches that actually over time grow in with grass and heavy rough. So that's what you'll see at times, that that's kind of maybe a newer feature than what we've seen in the past from when it was Oakmont before. Their famous hole, the third hole, that's got the what they call the church pew bunkers. They added actually another pew. They have 13 now from when the last time it was there. Interesting story about how that all developed. It used to be a whole set of individual bunkers, and I guess over time it kind of morphed into one. I read one story that they said that a member, like in the 1930s, went to a course in New Jersey and saw something similar and thought, hey, maybe it would be better if it was all one bunker with all these like grass mounds up in between instead of having all these individual bunkers. So they went back and kind of ran with it, and now it's kind of become their visual for Oakmont, that it's that hole in between the third and the fourth hole. You've got 168 bunkers. I mean, and, you know, par threes obviously are going to have a few less. So if you take the par threes out, these par fours and par fives are going to be averaging double-digit bunkers per hole. So that's tons of carnage out there with that, beyond the fact that the rough is averaging between 4 and 5 inches all over the place. And guess what else? If they couldn't make it any harder, they expanded putting green or putting surfaces on the greens. They made the greens a little bit larger. Now, that might instantly think, and I thought the same right away until I read a little more about it. Oh, the greens are bigger. That makes it easier now to hit greens. In some sense, yes. But by expanding the green size, they said that they've added some pin locations and being able to put the pin in different spots that they maybe weren't, they didn't have as much flexibility with, to add more challenge that way. So even though the greens might be a little larger in terms of surface area, the pin placements now might be in more challenging or more creative spots that could lead to ultimately bigger scores.
So what type of golfer in your mind will best be able to avoid all of these challenges and the stuff that's designed to have you be shooting over par?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, I think no matter what type of golf course we're throwing at there, I think we could throw Scottie Scheffler's David there. He's going to be outstanding. You know, he's going to be there at the end in some capacity, I'm sure. Now, you know, obviously you would think, okay, driving accuracy, that's maybe something that would be something that would be of value. Who's a big name that's at the top? Colin Morikawa is second on the PGA Tour in driving accuracy. So staying out of trouble off the tee, that's maybe something that would be good. I was thinking about that this week when I was making my picks yesterday with Schoep and the Bulldog, and I'm like, okay, who's had a good season? Who's been playing well? Who also has good, you know, greens and regulation at the same time with accuracy off the tee? Sepp Straka is a top 15 player in that category. Russell Henley is a top 15 player, and that Henley's had some really good U.S. Open performances. Now, these aren't guys that are maybe in, you know, in your top 20. Shane Lowry's a fairly accurate driver. He finished second the last time it was here when Dustin Johnson ended up winning. So, you know, if you go past the first dozen or so monster names that we could probably argue for any tournament, maybe some of those are some of the guys. Harris English has had a good year in majors, and he's a fairly accurate player and a very, very good putter. English was 5th at the Masters. I'm sorry, yeah. 12th at the Masters and 5th at the PGA. So there's some opportunities there for maybe to see a guy like that too.
Is with that driving stuff that, and accuracy, is Rory then maybe tough to trust because of what's going on with him? He got a new driver because he had to, and then he shot like an 81 in the practice round because he can't keep it down the middle. Like, is he kind of tough to trust?
Yeah, I wouldn't trust McIlroy this week. Just to catch everybody up on the driver thing. So at the PGA Championship, the USGA, who's one of the rule governing bodies here, who runs this event at the PGA Championship, they are at events and they test drivers just to make sure that it's within the rules. And it doesn't mean that McIlroy cheated in any way. using this driver coming in. It just over time, the club may wear, the grooves may wear, you know, to the point where, or part of the club might get to the point where either the weight or the grooves or something is out of specs. And they say, hey, it's, you know, it's not conforming anymore. And then he just has to replace it. And they do this. They'll test, you know, a group of players every single week. McElroy was upset because his name got out there that it was him. And it's supposed to be confidential because it's not, because instantly the public would jump to, oh, he cheated at the Masters if he used that driver, which is not the case. Again, it could have just been he's hit, you know, 14,000 golf balls with that driver, and maybe the face has worn enough on it to the point where they would deem it to be nonconforming and he has to change. So he has gone back. He used a new TaylorMade model. That's the one that he's got, you know, a business agreement with, and he's been struggling with it. He went back to an older version of a TaylorMade driver that was the exact same model that he used at the Masters. It's obviously just a new version of it so that it can be within the rules.
Yeah, I read that you can have a driver that's conforming when you tee off, and by the time your round's over, it does not conform. Like, the changes can happen kind of that quickly from the impacts. You know, Brian, I know the fairways here are going to be huge in terms of guys that hit fairways. I almost wonder if they're so narrow, though, that driving accuracy is even harder. And, like, it's got to be a bomber, right? Because there's so much length to this course. Even if you're punching out, you know, you'll take a guy that would – you'll take your chances with guys that just bomb it deep, and if they have to punch out, so be it. The greens are another test here where the course normally runs on the stimp at, like, 13 – that's normal for Oakmont. From what I've read, the members are psychos like that. And the one day earlier this week in the practice round, they're up to 14. So it really is like these guys are going to be out there trying to avoid bad blow-up holes and trying to avoid bogey. There's probably good bogeys out there, a lot of good bogeys out there.
I would agree. I think guys this week are just going to have to understand that, look, I'm in the rough here, and taking a bogey on a hole is okay. I can't take the eights and I can't take the triples and things like that. You're right. I think there's also maybe the argument for somebody like DeChambeau, because if it's a similar setup to what they did at Wingfoot when he won back in the COVID US Open, they brought in the fairways so much thinking, all right, we're going to get a guy that's super accurate and we're going to get a guy here that plays smart, you know, and has a strategic plan. But what happened is everybody just missed the fairway then. So it ended up being, well, do you want to hack out of the rough with your 6-iron, or do you want to be Bryson and hack out of the rough with your pitching wedge because you're just so much farther down than anybody else? And he ended up actually running away with that event. And I think the USGA is like, well, I guess we can't take it too much to the extreme, because if you've got 8 out of 10 drives that are in the rough, well, then it is going to benefit the bombers even more so, because they're at least close enough to the green where they're using a club with a much, you know, much more loft, and they're able to get it out and have that opportunity to maybe get it on the green. So, yeah, if we're watching this weekend, we're like, wow, everybody can't hit the fairway. Everybody's in the rough. Well, then maybe you go back to a guy like Bryson and say he still would have a great chance, and you just bomb it down there as far as you can, and you just deal and hope that you get lucky with your lies here throughout the course of 72 holes.
Because you won't be blocked out. You won't be in jail. There's no,
there's no trees.
There's no water. There's no trees. It's short grass and long grass. So, all right, Brian. Where are you guys this week for Tee to Green?
We're at Pendleton Creek in North Tonawanda, and 2 hours, 7 to 9. I'll throw one more note at you here before I let you go. Mm-hmm. If you're a Phil Mickelson fan, this could be his last ever attempt to get that U.S. Open, because we've talked this year about the Grand Slam with Rory. You know, Mickelson forever.
Six second place finishes?
Yes. Places at the U.S. Open. His most memorable one is definitely the one at Wingfoot, where he's got the lead on 18 and decides to hit driver, and then he hits the corporate hospitality tent and calls himself an idiot and takes double bogey when even bogey would have been enough to get it done. And Jeff Ogilvie ends up winning there, kind of an obscure name, but that was his best opportunity. I mean, he had one where he was right there with Justin Rose at Marion, and Rose beat him just barely at the end. But yeah, this is an event that's always, you know, he for so long, his popularity, we know obviously
Pinehurst,
it's been shifting. Pinehurst with Payne Stewart, that moment on the green, that was even, you know, more so of, oh my God, Mickelson's so young, so talented.
Yeah,
Stewart embraces him.
Yep.
Yeah, he embraces him. You're going to be a father. Remember that whole final round. He might have left because his wife was pregnant, and so he's had some heartbreaking endings there. But when he won the PGA Championship, that got him into all the majors for another 5 years here with the U.S. Open. Because he's of course gone to live, his world ranking now is in the hundreds. So his eligibility and that exemption runs out after this year. Now the USGA, if they want to, could give him like one of those sponsors exemption kind of deals, but they've been very, very hesitant to give it to very few players. In fact, they've only given it to one player ever that actually hasn't won a U.S. Open. They'll do it sometimes for like a champion that has won it at that of, Ernie Els won this back in 1994 here at Oakmont. They'll maybe, give it to him or something like that. But they gave it to Nick Price one time. But they usually do. They're very, strict about giving it out. And he's burned a lot of bridges. So I would guess Mickelson may be playing in his last U.S. Open here. And he has not had a top 25 in the last decade, and he's missed the cut the last 3 years in a row here. So I wouldn't put my money on him in any way either.
I know we're late, but just real quick, he would be able to try to qualify, though, for the U.S. Open, right? Because isn't anybody able to go through, like,
correct,
qualifying stages?
Yeah, like Homa just did, carrying his own bag. Yeah,
right, okay. Gotcha.
Yep, absolutely. He could still do that for sure. And, they obviously, if he's, doing well in LIV or he does well in – now, he could – and here's one other way he could get in. If he has, like, a top five finish at another major, a lot of times that – gets you in, somewhere else, or a top 10 somewhere else, like at another major that can get you in. But as of this moment, his current resume, this would be his last one.
Thanks, Brian.
Okay, guys, thanks. Enjoy the tournament. We already got guys on the course. Love it.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. I was thinking the all-time most pressure you could ever feel in your entire life. If anyone ever golfs, you know what it's like to stand on the first tee and there's a backup and maybe 10 people are watching. I've decided the most pressure-packed golf in the entire history of golf is being the first guy to tee off a U.S. Open. Is that the dentist guy? Like, hey, I'm an amateur. This course is supposed to chew everybody up, and here I am standing at my home course on the first tee. I'm a great story. He put it in the rough, didn't he? The other guy put it in the fairway, but he put it in the rough.
He put it in
the first cut. I thought it rolled off.
The first shot?
Yeah.
It went in the opposite. It went one fairway over.
Oh, I know that.
And then in the, I don't know if it crawled into that rough.
Okay.
But he almost hit the fairway on the hole to the left.
Listen, it's a course that you're going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Missing too far left to another fairway is good.
Yeah.
803-0550. Oakmont, we're underway at the U.S. Open. Sal, 7:30. We got some Keon Coleman content. He had some pretty honest commentary on his own game, his path as well. We'll play you some of what Keon Coleman had to say. Oh, yeah, there he is. Aw, wrong fairway, bud. You know this course. What if he's playing it the right way? Anyway,
maybe.
We'll get a break in. 803-0550 on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
All right, Keon Coleman had a lot to say at Bill's mandatory minicamp. We're gonna dig into him, and you know, why are we talking about receiver? You know how many times people come up to me and say, you know, I was listening to the afternoon show. They're talking receiver. I was listening to One Bills Live. It still is a interesting topic, and Dan Graziano had a write-up on the Bills receivers. We'll hear from Keon when we get back and chat about it with you. Also keep you updated on the U.S. Open at Oakmont. We're also going to talk about pizza on Buy Nothing on Facebook, maybe. All right.
My mind is blown right now.
We're off and running. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.